My story starts in the fall of 1998, when I was 25 years old and my father was dying of cancer. We didn't exactly know he was dying yet, but he was really sick and he had been for a long time. And when he came to Thanksgiving dinner, he was yellow from jaundice and thin as a rail. We went around the table that night to say what we were thankful for, and most people said turkey or family, and my father pulled out of his pocket a folded-up sheet of lined paper, which he unfolded and read to us. It was part poem, part prayer, and we have read it at every single Thanksgiving dinner since. It included this phrase, "I am thankful for the blessings of life and love, and I am thankful for the lessons I am privileged to extract from my trials and tribulations." I didn't know it then, but those words set me on a path. In the spring of 1999, my father died, and I found myself on a Monday afternoon standing in the narrow, dimly lit receiving room at the funeral home right up the street here as hundreds of well-wishers came to offer their condolences, saying to me over and over again, "I'm so sorry," and "congratulations," because I was 12 weeks pregnant. Standing there, surrounded by my family, all of us freshly grieving the loss of my father, and me growing new life inside my body, with my father's words ringing in my ears. And in that moment, I could suddenly see that I was holding joy and grief side by side in the palms of my hands. Fast forward then to the summer of 2015. My kids were then 12 and 15 years old, and they were at overnight camp in Cape Cod. My husband and I were getting ready to go on a trip. It was a Friday afternoon in July. I had just dropped the dog to be boarded. I was packing up the house and cleaning things up when my cell phone rang. And the name that popped up on the screen was the name of the kids' overnight camp, something no parent ever wants to see. I answered the phone. It was the camp director, and she said, "Hi, Emily. Everything is fine, but Lucy fell on the soccer field, and we're going to take her for an x-ray just in case." Spoiler alert, everything was not fine, and we would come to learn over the course of that day that Lucy had a spectacular spiral fracture of her left tibia. They took her in an ambulance from the soccer field to the local regional hospital, and then later that day in another ambulance, 2 hours to Children's Hospital in Boston. My husband and I jumped in the car here in Baltimore and drove up 95 on a Friday in July, arriving at the hospital just in time to hug Lucy and kiss her before they whisked her off to the operating room to put her to sleep and set her leg. And then a few hours later, they returned her to us in the largest cast I've ever seen, from the top of her thigh to the tip of her toes, in a wheelchair with crutches and no ability to bear weight, much less walk or take a shower or go to the bathroom. And we were exhausted and overwhelmed. And then we got the phone call telling us that my beloved grandmother had died. And now we were grieving too. And did I mention that we were also in the final throes of preparing for Lucy's bat mitzvah, this milestone moment in the life of a Jewish child and their family where she was meant to stand before the congregation in this rite of passage? It should have been this time of joy, and Lucy was strong and resilient, but I was stuck in grief, and I was determined not to walk into this important milestone occasion in a state of despair. I knew that joy and grief could live side by side, but I didn't know how to get there. And I remembered that a friend had told me about this thing that she did with her friends, where each night they sent each other an email with a list of good things from their day. And I remember when she told me that, thinking to myself, that is lovely, and that has nothing to do with me. I'm a pretty grateful person. That would not make any difference in my life. And now here we were. So I sat down at my computer and I sent an email to 3 of my friends and I said, "I'm going to try this thing and I'm going to send you an email each night with a list of good things from my day, and you don't have to do anything except receive my emails." But my friends wrote back and they said actually they would send me lists of good things too. And very quickly, everything changed. Because now I was walking through my days looking for evidence of goodness in my life and in the world. And I was waking up in the mornings to emails filled with lists of good things. And our conversations changed because we were in this collective effort to find evidence of goodness. It was really powerful. And I have sent myself an email with a list of good things from my day every single night since, for 10 years. Sometimes emailing with those friends, sometimes emailing with other friends, sometimes emailing with strangers who became friends along the way, but always privately, under the radar, until last January, when I could feel the palpable despair in the world all around me. People were afraid, anxious, overwhelmed, exhausted. And I don't know how to fix the things in the world that are causing us to feel that way, but I do know that this simple practice where we notice, name, and share good things, it soothes our weary hearts, and it helps us hold on to hope in difficult times, and we need that. So I started writing a Substack, which is an online newsletter, and I started talking about the Substack everywhere I went, and it resonated. And the Substack numbers grew and grew and grew, and the subscribers grew. And now, 12 months later, I send an email every night to more than 50,000 people with a list of simple good things from my day, like my winter coat that keeps me warm on a walk and a perfect parking spot at the market and clean sheets on my bed. And those folks share their lists with me and with each other in the comments. And together, we're on this collective quest to find evidence of goodness. And along the way, it's become this beautiful community where people got to know each other, and we congratulate each other, and we console each other. And together, we're holding joy and grief side by side in the palms of our hands. Thank you.